you know, clearly the world didn't come to an end, nor should it have, and clearly that was the right thing to do. In the military, the most important thing is for everybody, as the president did say, to stay focused on their job. And if there's any evidence that any person in the military, whether they're trans or not trans or whoever they may be, if they're not focusing on their job, then that's a problem. But what that means is that people who are focused more on being upset that they're serving with a trans person, those are the ones who are causing the disruption and not doing their jobs, not the trans person who is doing nothing other than just doing their job. So let's look closely at who is, in fact, causing the disruption. It's usually everybody else.
All right. Well, the military has stated that it does not even know what this means as far as people who are transgender, who've already gone through the transition and are serving in the military. Are they going to be dishonorably discharged? It is a bit of a mess. Where do you think the discussion is going?
Well, I don't think anybody knows where the discussion is going because, as I say, we don't govern by tweet in this country, and that's the problem. The Pentagon was unprepared for this. They're not, I don't think, really in support of it. They know that they have really good, dedicated, high-quality people who happen to be trans who are doing an excellent job. They don't want to lose those people. So they're stuck. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do with people who are serving, you know, with honor, with dignity, with valor, all of those things, who now, because the president went off on a Twitter rant, you know, nobody knows what to do. And that's exactly the problem, first of all, with the president thinking he can govern by Twitter, and secondly, with a policy like this that not only hurts innocent people who just want to serve their country, but then it also serves, it hurts the entire military structure because they've come to depend on people who are doing a good job.
All right, 877-217-5757, in our remaining time with Marjorie Essman, the Executive Director of the Louisiana ACLU, and talk@talklouisiana.org is our email address. Gail asks whether the taxpayers of our country should be paying $84 million a year for Viagra and other erectile dysfunction drugs. Is that something the taxpayers should be footing the bill for?
Well, I think that's a fair question. And as I say, that goes to show that the president isn't really concerned about medical costs at all in this question about discriminating against trans service people, because if he were, he'd be looking at other ways to cut medical costs. Whether the taxpayer should pay for Viagra or whether it's for the military or for any other purpose, that's a larger question, and I agree it's a question that needs to be asked.
Well, the president's move drew praise from Louisiana's Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, which had opposed the Pentagon spending bill over the dispute about paying for transgender reassignment surgery. Mr. Perkins said he will now support legislation, effectively sending a message to conservative lawmakers that they would not pay a price with their core supporters for voting for it. So was this to appease Tony Perkins, the pride of Baker, Louisiana?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I'm never willing to speculate on anybody else's motives, whether it was to appease Tony Perkins or to appease some other base or whether it was just the president going off on a Twitter storm. I don't know, and I don't think that really matters. What matters is that not only are, you know, human beings who are minding their own business and doing their job to protect our country being hurt by this, but as a consequence, the entire defense of this country is going to be hurt by preventing us from taking advantage of the skills and talents of everybody who might want to offer them. We're all going to pay a price for this.
The president does have the authority to do this, apparently, and if that's the case, tweets aside, he can implement the policy, can't he?
Well, you know, again, there's a process. He can't just, you know, issue an edict and have it implemented right away. There have to be rules. There have to be guidelines. There have to be procedures. And as you said, there has to be some plan for what's going to happen to the people who are serving now. So yes and no, he can, but he can't just do it by edict. You know, this president is not an emperor. He doesn't get to wave his wand and have things just happen. And there are consequences to these kinds of decisions, which have not been thought out, and they must be thought out. And, you know, something else is that the president made a campaign promise to protect and defend the rights of LGBT individuals in this country. Clearly, this is in violation of his campaign promise. You know, who knows whether he meant the campaign promise or he didn't, or what, you know, who knows. But he's going back on his promise, and he will pay a political price for that.
All right, another listener, Scott, notes that our president received 5 draft deferments during the Vietnam War and criticized Senator John McCain for, quote, being captured. Does he have any appreciation for the sacrifices of people in the armed forces?
Well, I think that's a rhetorical question coming from that listener. Obviously, you know, the listener feels strongly that that President Trump doesn't appreciate the value of service in the military, and I have no way of knowing. As I say, I don't know what's in anybody's head, but certainly it appears that this was, a purely a political gesture for who knows what reason, unrelated to the actual needs and strength of the military, because he didn't consider that. He really didn't consult the Pentagon. They were caught totally off guard by this. He didn't consider the individual human beings who are transgender, who are serving important positions in our military. He didn't think of any of that. So whether that means he just doesn't understand or appreciate the military, I have no idea. But I think it's a good point. You know, he criticized somebody who was a true war hero while never having served himself. Clearly means he doesn't understand how the military works.
Well, and he also would have been in the same war as John McCain if he had served, mm-hmm. presumably. And,
well, yes.
But I think based on what we've seen, the president obviously has reverence for the military. He just didn't want to serve in it himself at a time of war, and he's not alone. There are 2 other presidents born in the summer of 1946 who also did everything they could to stay out of Vietnam and were successful, in Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. McCain was the exception, not the rule, as far as lawmakers and prominent politicos who did or did not serve in Vietnam. There weren't a whole lot who did, and I don't want to get on a tangent, but we're short on time. Remember, John McCain was a candidate for president and lost by 10 million votes. John Kerry, another war hero, lost when he ran against George Bush. Al Gore, who served, lost to George Bush in 2000. So service in Vietnam is not really, it hasn't been a benefit for those seeking the highest office in the land. But we're short on time, Marjorie. Where do you think this is going?
I know one place it's going, which is inevitably it will lead to litigation. As people who have served their country honorably are all of a sudden deprived of the right to do so for no reason that has to do with their performance. I think it's bad for the country.
Okay, we got to roll, but thanks for listening.